Hello, hello, hello. What's going on, everybody out there, man? This is your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. Well, y'all know what we do each and every week, man. I chop it up with some of the world's most interesting people. As well as, you know, I like to give out that information on here, even when it's just me by myself. Y'all know how we do each and every week. But what I will do is the same thing I do every week as well, is I start off with thanking all of the people who download the audio version of this podcast. I really do appreciate y'all from the bottom of my heart because y'all making this thing go round. And you know what else is important? Is that the reach. The reach is all over the world. So a lot of times I know people get caught up in wondering, like, is this story really getting out there? Are they making an impact? And I was always told is that the most important thing is if you can just help one person, then you've done something major in life. And I know you don't really get all the credit for being a person that helps people. Or even if it's from that one person, you know, everybody looks for this grand thing where everybody is recognizing them for all the accomplishments that they have. But in reality, you know, the reason why you do what you do is not for the accolades, right? It's for because this is how you are. This, you would do this if you didn't get paid for it. And that's the difference between people who can be bought and people who just stand on morals and principles. It's just a thing when it comes to that, right? But before I get into all that, like I said, thank y'all to all of you guys that download the audio version. Y'all all over the world. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate y'all. Got to give y'all shout outs for sure. All right. Secondly, listen, y'all guys be clicking the links. Thank y'all, man. Y'all be going out there checking out this information. Now, remember, you know how I am, man. I tell y'all each and every week, I'm not a financial advisor, but you guys have to be prepared mentally for the shift that's coming, the change that's coming, right? You don't want to be one of these people that's living in fear because right now, with the state of the way things are going in the United States, everybody is in fear of something, right? Because that's the main emotion that they could just make people do some of the most weirdest things off of just a whim, right? It's because of fear. Think about it. They put on the news a storm, a hurricane coming. People go in the grocery store and buy all the stuff that's gonna die because you don't have no power. So why are y'all going in there buying all the eggs and buying all the milk and doing all this other stuff that you just gonna hoard and it's gonna sit there and go to waste, right? Because if you don't have no power, how you gonna do? I know some people are resourceful. I know that. A lot of people got little tricks and things that they could do. All right, my bad on you. All right, so you the exception. But for the most part, for the people who don't have all that extra stuff, y'all be the main ones that got mad toilet papers. You got one behind, but you got 1,000 packs of toilet paper back here, y'all. You're going to have to wind up going to a flea market before it's all over with. Try to get your money back. But here's the point, what I'm saying is that fear is the one emotion that will make a lot of people react off of impulse. And they have figured that out. So they've learned how to use that emotion as a trigger to make you guys go out here and do all other kind of things. They put it in movies. They make sure that you guys are just totally, totally in a state of fear at all times because, you know, it sells. They say sex sells, but fear sells more than sex. Right? Because even when you're scared, some people scared they ain't going to be here no more. What they try to do before they go? I'm going to have as much sex as possible. So people even have sex off of fear. So fear is the number one emotion that people can use against you. That's why in order to have a great balance in your life, you guys have to understand the difference between the physical and the spiritual. So what I like to do is I like to make sure that we get into this whole thing because today's conversation is going to be really good. And I think it's going to be great for a lot of people who come up with excuses. Now, for some people, they can word excuses as reasons. We've heard that before. right? People will come up with their version of a reason why they can't do something more so than it is the fact that they use that as a means to just not try. Because look, let's face it, y'all. Even trying sometimes, it's not going to always work. But if you think that life is based on getting everything the first time you go up there, I mean, come on. Some of the best at anything, I don't care what it is. It could be sports. It could be anything that you guys feel like you know somebody that's the best at. They didn't hit every basket. Michael Jordan did not hit every basket he shot. Yes, he's the greatest, considered to be the greatest basketball player of all time, but he did not hit every shot. The difference is he still took the shot. Most people will not take the shot because of their reason when really it's an excuse. And listen, we don't have room for excuses, right? Life is changing around you while you steady trying to be the same based off of your reason or excuse. Now, for however you want to justify it, it's all right with you. But for me, it's like, yo, if you're going to have a reason why you shouldn't do something, then that means that you really don't have a reason why you should. And if you are just living for you, then I can see why you allow whatever your reason is to become an excuse for why you can't do something. But my guest tonight, So my guest tonight, she's going to break it down on how she has been able to overcome and triumph over what people would, normal people, when I don't mean like she's not normal, I'm talking about in the normal space, people would use as an excuse, even though it could consider it to be a reason. But I'm going to bring, when I bring her up, she's going to get into that. She's going to tell y'all, we're going to chop it up and get into her world, all right? So I wanted to make sure y'all knew what tonight's show was about because it's important. And I want y'all to understand these series of shows that I am doing, it's all tying together, even though they're not the same subject. I want you guys to all understand, like, listen, there is information that people need to have. And it's also one thing people always feel like they're the only one. Trust me. It's so many people out here who feel like they're the only one. The people who be standing on the ledge of these buildings and on these bridges and all these other things is because they feel like whatever they're going through, they're the only one. But they're not. It's just that the people who got the interesting stories are not given the platforms to tell them, right? Because you can get on your own platform and talk about yourself, but then people talk about you talking about yourself. So, I mean, you can't even really do that as much as people do that, right? It just looks like it's just, you know, you want to talk about yourself. So thankful for me to be able to think about that in a way where it's like, yo, listen, yo, this is what the platform is going to be out, sparking conversation. So tonight's conversation is going to be just that. It's going to spark a whole lot of things moving forward. All right. So before I bring my guest up, let's do one more thing. You guys know that the comments are going to be wide open, all right? You're watching us on YouTube. You're watching us on Twitch. Just let y'all know the comments are going to be wide open. If you guys want to jump in the comments, you got anything you want to say, you want to join in the conversation, make sure you do that. They'll be wide open. And don't forget, whenever you guys are joining the show, and, you know, the guests give out their social media handles and stuff like that, if you feel, you know, move to, yo, connect with them, you know. And I know it's other platform, people who have platforms too that watch too. And even you guys that watch the playback, you know, make sure y'all connect with the guests, man. And, you know, continue the movement, continue the message, and let's keep these things rolling, okay? All right. So without further ado, I'm about to bring my guest up, Miss Michelle Steiner, and we're going to get into it real quick, y'all. All right, so let's see what's good. There she go.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this evening?
I am great, thank you.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That's what's up. I'm always glad to hear that because that makes for a great conversation when the guests are already feeling good, okay? So yes. I appreciate that. So look, let's do this. Please introduce yourself to the audience and let's let them know why you're on the platform this evening.
Sure, I'd be happy to. My name is Michelle Steiner. I live in Pennsylvania with my husband Ron and our two cats, Jack and Sparrow. And I work as a paraeducator in a school for students who have disabilities and some who just need a little extra help. And I'm also a writer and a speaker and a photographer. And I have a blog called Michelle's Mission. And I'm here to just share my story of having a learning disability and just some of the resources and some of the challenges that I faced, but some of the things that I also do and continue to do to be able to help myself to hopefully maybe help somebody else that might be in a similar situation.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I said I felt like tonight's conversation was going to be very important because, a lot of parents are dealing with children that have learning disabilities, right? And they don't have all the answers either because the first thing that, it happens when they go to school, the next thing it is like now they're on medicine and stuff like that. So let's talk a little bit about what it is that you were dealing with growing up. Is there a particular learning disability that that you deal with, or is it like, a spectrum?
Yes, I have a couple that I do deal with. I have dyscalculia, which is a math learning disability. I also have limited hand dexterity in both of my hands, and they didn't find that out till I was an adult. And I have visual perception issues as well. I was diagnosed whenever I was in kindergarten. My teacher could really see that I was struggling in the classroom, academically and socially, but really the academics is what tipped her off that maybe I should get tested for having a disability. And I was really struggling with counting, tying my shoes. Dot to dot pages were really difficult for me. I can remember thinking, oh, I would get a paper and I did this correctly. And when I got it back, it wasn't done correctly. And I also struggled with my eye-hand coordination when I was from the time I was very young. So my teacher recommended that I get tested for having one. And sure enough, I do indeed have one. But back when I was diagnosed, they didn't give a term of dyscalculia. They knew I wasn't going to be a mathematician when I was 5 or 6. They told my parents that, but they didn't give a real specific diagnosis for that. And that was hard for me growing up because a lot of the students who I knew that were in learning support with me, they struggled with reading and behavioral issues. And I remember as I grew reading books about people that had learning disabilities, and they were all about men, and most of them had reading disabilities. So it was really hard for me to be able to relate to a lot of things.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, all right. With those few things and being diagnosed so early, what were some of the things that you had to face as a child, like it being able to get through with that? Because eventually, counting had to become very important when it came down to, your money and things like that, as well as getting dressed with tying your shoe and all that other stuff. So, what were some of the challenges that you faced at home? Did you have a supporting cast and family that motivated you? How would that work?
Yes, I had a wonderful set of parents. My mom and dad never gave up on me, and that made the difference. And they advocated for me. At the school, I had to repeat kindergarten the following year, and I had to go to a different school in our district. It was still a public school, but it was just a different location. And I began to receive specialty instruction in all areas. I had speech therapy because I also had clogged ears, so I wasn't hearing words correctly. And it was a real challenge for me. I can remember being very young and thinking, oh, life is always going to be hard for me. And if I just didn't have this disability, my life would be perfect. Socially, it was hard for me as well. I went to a very small school district where I stuck out like a sore thumb. Everybody knew everybody. I couldn't hide. I couldn't blend in. Everybody knew I went to resource room for classes, and they knew I had to get accommodations. And my regular ed peers, they lumped me together as some with my learning support peers and didn't think that I was very smart. And the bullying started really early when I was young. When I was little, it was, well, you're not invited to my birthday party, or you can't play on the playground with us. And that was really hard for me. But as I said, my parents didn't give up on me, and thank God they didn't. They didn't expect perfect grades, but I had to try. We spent some long, tearful homework sessions together, completing work. And they also made me go to school, even if I was not going to do well on a test, or even if I was really having trouble with a peer, they made me go and face everything. And that helped me develop a lot of resilience for that. I can also remember my dad found a story that I wrote about a dinosaur when I was in second or third grade. And he said, wow, this is really good. And that built my confidence because before that, I didn't think I was good at anything. And I just thought that, you know, it was really, really hard to be able to do a lot of those things. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, that's so great. And I finally got, that confidence to do that. And that really carried me through my teen years. But it was hard for me. I mean, they're still difficult, like with math. I have never been able to get out of learning support math whenever I was in school. We tried that once and it didn't work out really well. But I was placed in all regular ed classes by the time high school occurred. That was one of those things that I was able to do. My grades improved, but socially it got a lot harder for me. The peer groups became more defined and I just didn't feel like I fit in with anybody. But luckily, I also found an adult writing group, and I found a group with teenagers that were just in a school district away from me. And I got a chance to write on their newsletter, and I found acceptance, which was really great to be able to do that. And it was just a great experience. And my adult writing group, we still meet 20 some years later, once a month to talk about our writing. And they got to see me grow as not only as a writer, but as a person.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because as I'm listening to your story, I remember one of the shows I was talking and I was like, yeah, man, you know, even when people, like, I use a metaphor about your children, right? So, like, you know, mm-hmm. when your children start to do their drawings, like, they're never really good. But you got to tell them that they did good, because if you don't, then they won't keep going and possibly become great at it. Sometimes people got to know that the greatness is in them, even if it ain't right then and there, because, you know, people are easily give up. And I'm thankful for your dad that he was able to see that you were good at something, like mm-hmm. even if you didn't see it. And I think that's the blessing in all this, is about finding your purpose. I feel like every single person that's born is here for a reason. Now, yeah, you have some challenges, right? Like you said, right? Mm-hmm. But you doesn't mean that you were less than people who were in regular ed. What it was is that you learned differently and right. you had a different purpose. Your goal, like, it looked like you led you right into writing. Yes. Because you got to kind of think about it. You had some dexterity issues. So was writing easy, or did your writing become typing? Like, how did that work?
Writing was really hard for me. In fact, when I was really young, my handwriting, I mean, it still is bad, but they couldn't read it. And they knew I had a learning disability, but we didn't know about the hand dexterity issue. So it was sort of presented as, oh, this must be a character flaw. And I can remember I got a W on my report card for indicating weakness when I was in elementary school for handwriting. And people would label that. I had people that would tell me, oh, you're messy. Or I had someone that said to me years later that I had the handwriting of a serial killer. I also had a peer who told me that if I wanted to be a writer, that I was going to have neat handwriting. And to this day, I have not had somebody that has asked me for a story to be submitted that has been handwritten. If they did, they probably wouldn't be able to read it. And people would say, well, you could do better. And I was so frustrated. And finally, when I was in a ninth grade, or maybe it was 10th, they had me learn how to type. And instead of it just taking one semester, it took me a whole year with the hand dexterity. But it was a game changer for me, because all of a sudden I could type things. People knew what I wanted to say. And there just wasn't that frustration as much with the handwriting. So now, whenever I got tested as an adult for having hand dexterity issues, the light bulb just went off. And I'm like, oh, that's why it's so hard for me to write too. Not just because of learning disability. That's why things drop out of my hands. And I'm not just clumsy or klutzy. I have another reason for that. And there's things that I can do that can help me.
Right. And that's good that you found, you know, the things that you were challenged with and went to a way to try to help yourself, you know, overcome that challenge, you know, because that's why I said what I said in the opening. It's a lot of times people have things that they go, because I'm clumsy. I'm going to be honest with you. I can say that. Like, it's like, because it's not all the time, but it's in the damnest times, right? That I drop something or knock something over, or you know what I mean? So, like, I can honestly say that about myself, right? But then there's, you know, times when you know, very few people, and I mean this, you know, with mad humbleness, but there's a lot of people who don't see that anything is wrong with them at all.
Right.
Because I think for some reason people think that something, because you can recognize that you're not perfect, means that there's a form of weakness, when it's not. It really is a form of the piece of the puzzle that you may need to miss, or the part that you can fit if you have another team member. Because, you know, a lot of it is not meant for us to go through things by ourselves. We just think that we're the only one, right? I said that.
Yeah.
But what would you want to say?
Yeah, sometimes people think that we are the only one that has that, especially that was really hard for me, especially growing up, because I didn't know a lot of people that had math learning disabilities. Most of my peers struggle with reading, and I didn't know anybody else that really had a lot of those issues. But one of the things that I got to see that happened was a lot, especially after COVID, with a lot of virtual groups, I got to meet a lot more people that have math learning disabilities. And there's that virtual support group. And I get to offer that to some other people too, to show them they're not the only person that struggles with that, and that they're going to be all right. And I get a chance to do that. And the thing is, I had friends who told me before, you really should write about having a learning disability. And I thought, oh, no, that's too personal. But when I finally started sharing it, that was really healing for me.
Right. Because I think a lot of times, you know, the sad thing is that, at least, you know, for you, you knew that you had some things that you had to overcome, unlike other people, right? So to speak, like they said, you know. But then there's those people who can't read or write, and they don't have a learning disability. They just chose not to apply themselves, right? Because now the new statistic is there's 85% of students that are graduating who can't read on or above their grade level. And they're just passing kids through school. And then they're coming out as adults, and they can barely read or write but above a fifth grade reading level themselves, which is another way of them not being able to comprehend a lot of things that they put their signature on because of the fact that they didn't apply themselves in those spaces, right? Because for them, they felt like they didn't have to, because they're going to just be moved on. So then that's why I think with bullying, it's a thing with bullying, right? Because a lot of times with bullying, people will see somebody and they feel like they're weaker than them, or they're going to pick on them because they're different. And then when you turn around and look at the bully nowadays, the bully is doing way worse than the person that was bullied all the time. You know?
Yeah, there are situations where I've seen that happen too. Sometimes they do worse, or sometimes they had things that were going on, or a lot of pressure with them too. So, I mean, it's a choice of what I let it happen with that. For me, it's that choice. And I have found that it's just so much better that I move forward and I focus on the things that I love doing and to be successful. I think that's the best kind of revenge to have on anything, is to go forward and to be successful in my own right. And if I can do that, then I'm not letting that rule over me. I'm moving forward with my life on my terms.
Which is good, because like you said, you didn't allow that to stop you, even though you wasn't accepted or a part of what they would consider, you know, your peer group, but you still kept moving and you became successful. So the book. So how many books have you written so far?
Well, I had three stories published in an anthology last summer, and I have a blog called Michelle's Mission where I write about my life with a learning disability. But I'm still, I still have yet to get my own book out yet.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, and so are all of the writings basically about the learning disability, or what is it?
Yes, I use a lot of nature metaphors with my writing. And I get a chance to talk about just life with having a learning disability and some of the experiences. I had a lot of people who tried to limit me. I had people that told me I couldn't go to college because of my disability, or I couldn't get my bachelor's degree. A lot of professionals told me that. So I try to and I was able to do all those things. So I try to really write about just some strategies and some ways that people can do it. And I compare a lot of it with nature metaphors, because nature and flowers are a big part of my life. So I might talk about a flower blooming, and I'll relate that to the process of accepting my disability. And I also post a lot of flowers on my blog for my walks. I'm not able to drive because of my disability, but I get the chance to notice details that other people might miss. And when I'm on a walk, I get a chance to literally stop and smell the roses and take a picture of a flower. And if I was driving a car, I would miss that shot. So I post those on my online store as well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great. You're right, though. That goes to show about how they say people, they don't really appreciate the small things sometimes because of what the day brings for them. And you're right. Yeah. Sometimes just being able to go for a walk and being able to appreciate nature will definitely give you a better outlook on life too, because nature is constant, right? And that's the one mm-hmm. thing that is always going to be there, and it doesn't have bills. Right. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have, right. you know, all of these other pressures that we face with each and every day. And we're supposed to be the ones that's the smartest. But look, let's talk about this a little bit, because when you mentioned that you got degrees, so how many degrees do you have?
An associate's degree and my bachelor's degree.
Oh, wow. So you, okay, great. So, what made you pursue your education after that? Like, after the fact that, okay, so let me put it in context. So you go through, regular grade school, and you go through high school, you defeated it, right? As much as people told you this, that, and the third or whatever. So at that point, what made you decide, hey, I'm going to keep going further? Did you go to college, on campus, or did you do online courses? What did you do when it came to the college life?
Right. I started out with community college. I was introduced to Office for Vocational Rehabilitation, and they pay for college. They pay for all my years. I was able to graduate debt-free. If you have a qualifying disability, and I definitely do. And they talked to me while I was in high school, and I told them I wanted to go to college, but I was a little nervous. I didn't know if I could honestly do it myself. I was doing well, and the math really scared me. But they told me, well, why don't we try to at least get you in community college? We think studying early childhood, that's what I wanted to do, would be a feasible plan for me. And they said a lot of times universities will look at how well you did at a community college. So I applied because I wanted to do that. And I had a student teacher who told me, you can go to college because you know how to study and you're a hard worker. And sometimes that was the voice that I heard when times got really hard. When I got to school, there was a big stigma, though, with disability accommodations. A lot of people thought that they were cheating or giving an unfair advantage. I even had a professor that said, well, we don't use calculators in this class. We use our brains. So I didn't use them, and that was a big mistake. My grades really dropped. But finally, I had a professor that told me, why don't we at least get you extended test time? And I did that, and I was able to pass her class. And then the math was a real challenge for me. At community college, I could not even pass the prep math class. But with having a disability, and I was going to every class, and I was going through tutoring, and that they did waive the class. I took another class in that, but I had to submit all my paperwork into the dean for approval. Whenever I After that, I graduated with my associate's degree in early childhood education. I really was enjoying my life, and I had some temp jobs, and I was living in a central location, which I really love because I can't drive. But I always wanted more for myself, and be careful what you wish for, because due to financial reasons, I had to move back in with my parents for a while. And during that time, I thought my job was downsizing, and I thought this is just a good time to go back to university. And I found I did a lot of research at university, and I found one that had the least amount of math and science possible and had a program I was interested in, and it had disability accommodations. And this time I didn't wait around. I used all the accommodations that were offered to me. I had a note taker, I had extended test time, I had tutoring, and my grades improved dramatically. I was able to make Dean's List first semester, and I advocated for myself. Yeah, whenever I had a new professor, I would just introduce them. I'd say, hi, my name's Michelle. I have a learning disability. This is what I'm going to be needing to do. And the stigma was always there. There was always peers that were saying this was cheating. I had a couple professors who didn't quite get the memo, but I knew how to handle it. And I knew I had to silence all of those voices and focus on what I had to do. And I was able to graduate with a bachelor's degree despite being told I couldn't do it.
Wow. That's major. That's major. Because, yeah, a lot of people give up. You'd be surprised how many people give up on their dreams and aspirations, or, you know, the things that they feel like they no longer should do, because now it's like, it's this and it's that. Like I said earlier, yeah. A lot of times people use excuses and they substitute them as reasons, but they really be excuses. Because, right. You know, you see yourself and you vision yourself in a certain place. And as long as you continue to see that thing, you can get there to it. And that's the power of manifestation, too, because you said, like you said, yo, I want to go to college. And so many people, they don't understand how powerful it is to speak the things that be not as though they were. Right. Just speak it and then believe it. And boom, look what happens. You can manifest it. Like, people don't, I feel like that's a superpower, you know? Mm-hmm. As much as people may look at other people and feel like something may not be as, you know, what they might think is perfect or good or whatever, it doesn't mean that this person doesn't have a superpower. Just like you have a superpower. You manifested your life into what you wanted it to be in spite of what people told you it could be. Now, that is a superpower. And yes. Most people, you know, and most people, they doubt their superpower, right? Because they can't fly. Right. Or because they can't walk through a wall. So they don't understand that that's not necessarily the only superpowers that exist, if that's something that you might want to measure it against. But just the fact that you can have a thought in your mind or a way that you see yourself and then you actually become that. Come on, yo, that's a manifestation. That's power. Right. And that's major power. And I wish more people would do that, you know, transform their mindset. I know for me, each and every day I work on that. Right. Trying to change my subconscious.
Yes.
Because that's where that doubt come from. Right.
Right. I mean, it's just changing. It's making the right decisions. I mean, there are certain things that wouldn't be a right decision for me to make. And I have to realize, OK, that's not for me. But this is what I can do. And it's finding those things. And I'm so much more empowered when I can focus on what I can do and what I'm good at than when I have to try to do things that I know I can't do or I'm not that great or don't interest me. But if I really focus in on what I can and what I'm good at, I'm just a happier, more upbeat person.
Well, yeah, you know, I think, you know, your strengths they outweigh your weaknesses, I think.
Definitely.
It depends on the way you look at it, right? I think, you know, in whoever's your life, you know, like it's that glass half empty, half full type of thing. It just depends on how you look at it, right?
Right.
And your strengths can outweigh your weaknesses, and it'll give you more of what to concentrate on versus what you cannot do. Because, I mean, look, everybody can't do everything. Like, no. I mean, it's just a thing, right? Like, look,
right.
I can change the windshield wiper fluid, but I can't change no oil. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yep. I could tell people, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, it's a lot of things I can't do and it's things I cannot. It's just, but that's for everybody. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean that you have a disability. And I just think that I wish that there was a way that we could allow people to be them and not categorize them or not, you know, and just find a way, because it may be something else that interests them other than this. Now, they got to know the basics, right? And it's just trying to find a way to make sure that they learn the basics. But if they could get the basics down, then, hey, maybe it's another way that they learn, and we could find a different way to try to teach them. It's just that, you know, having those options. Nowadays, people don't have the option to find other ways, right? Because people diagnose people so quickly. Yeah. Like, even you was in kindergarten, and then they automatically, I mean, I guess for you said they was right, but, I mean, who's to say? It just might not have been traditional school. What if it would have been a different way that they could have, you know, actually, because you like flowers, you know? And so that means what if they had taught you math through teaching you how to grow things?
Yeah. I mean, there is definitely other
ways, you know, that they could have just tapped into the things that make you unique and then find a way. Because with growing things, it's numbers and everything. Everything is a number.
Yeah, true.
Everything. Yeah. Everything is a number. It just depends on finding a way that you can get that route to get to the numbers that you need. But you can get there. It's just the route that's taken. Some people need to be over here. Like, if they would have thought about that, right? Like, just as an example, right? I don't know if they did or not, but just thought about it as an example. Like, yo, she loved flowers. Like, listen, I bet. So let's teach her how to grow them. If we could teach her how to grow these flowers and learn how to put these things together and learn how with the measurements on how to put this with fertilizer, we could teach her how to count. Now, because it'll be there because the power of repetition will be there. It may not be textbook style, but it may be repetition style that helps you recognize it, and then you repeated it so much that now you know it.
Yeah.
But that's just depending on, you know, the way people see things, half empty, half full. But I don't think life should be structured the way that it is now when it comes to traditional school. I think it's ways to learn to teach people. You just got to meet them where they are, not give them diagnoses to make them feel like they're inadequate to other people. They just learn differently.
Yeah, right? Exactly. That's all it is. Just a different way of learning.
Because, look, you figured out your superpower. Everybody got one. Some people just haven't figured out how to use theirs, or if they have one. Because, you know, like I said, it's not something that's shooting out their eyes or their hands. But I promise a lot of people, even the people that's watching and the people that's going to watch the playback, they got to realize that they do have a superpower and you have a purpose, you know. Now you're an advocate where you're going around, you know, motivating others, right? So let's talk about that real quick. So
I do that in a number of different ways. During the school year, I help out my students with their work, but I also show them ways that they can advocate, because I hear a lot of students, not all of them, but a lot of them will say, well, I hate my learning disability. I wish I didn't have it. So I get that chance to tell them it's not a bad thing to have a learning disability, and don't be afraid to advocate. And I get to show them how to do that. And I also do this where I speak on different podcasts and different platforms. And I am going to be speaking at a conference tomorrow, my first in-person one in a couple of years. So I get to show people, you know, tell them my story and just be able to show them different ways that they can advocate and be able to not feel alone, in ways that they can help themselves too, and just to encourage others.
Which is great, you know, to push through, right? Being an overcomer, man. I think a lot of people, you know, they don't really put that in the highest that it should be.
Right.
You know, I really feel like a lot of people, they give up so easily, right?
Yeah.
And then not only do they give up so easily, you know, it's depending on the people in their lives, they can get discouraged if they don't have that, you know, those people that's really giving them confirmation, you know?
Right.
So, good thing is that you had a great family. And like you said, you mentioned your husband earlier. So obviously, I'm sure he does. He's a supporter. He supports you a lot. Does he have a learning disability?
No, he does not have a learning disability, but he is a great support for me. He is able to take me to work or wherever else I need to go. And I have a wonderful coworker that takes me home at the end of the day. And we work together as a team. And I knew he was the right one whenever I told him on our first date that I had a learning disability. And he asked me how that made me feel. And he was the first person that ever asked that. Because that's always a fear, too, of rejection with having a disability. I had people that didn't want to be with me because of that. And they just weren't the right ones for me. So I just really encourage people that have disabilities that the right person is out there and that person will love you with your disability.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's somebody for everybody, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And again, where some people may look at it as a disability, then there's other people who look at it as a superpower. Mm-hmm. You just got to figure out which way you want to look at it. Because, like I say, there's people who have pieces of the puzzle. It's just a piece of the puzzle that's it, you know? What you may be stronger at, then the other person may be able to pick up the slack on the other end. And I think that's what it's about with being a team, right? Teamwork, that's what it's about. Right. Everybody don't have to be super strong in every area. They just have to be able to be strong in the area that fits them. Right. Yep. It's just that we have so many different connotations that we're given and we put on ourselves because, you know, that's the way other people view us. Right. Since we've been born, people have been giving us something. They gave us a name. We didn't choose our name. Right. You know, they gave us our family. We didn't choose our family. They gave us all these things that we get as soon as we're born. Somebody give to us and they put on us. And then it's up to us to try to filter through all of that to find out who we are. And finding out who you are just doesn't mean, like right now, I guess for the sake of the conversation, we could call it a disability. But in real life, is it really a disability or is it an ability because you learn differently and you do things differently? And because of who you are, you're able to help other people who are like you, which, you know, helps to motivate them. Right. Because they have something that somebody told them that was, you know, a disability. And then now you are the person who overcame everything people said as the person that's helping them motivate them go to the next level. So you found your purpose.
Yes, I have. I found my purpose in life. I went through a point where, I wish I didn't have it, but now I can't imagine a life without it. And I love my life and I love the opportunities. And I just can't imagine having another life.
Gotcha. So we got a question in the chat. From Yessie, it's what programs and resources did you find helpful growing up that helped throughout this process, or resources that parents can consider looking into if they have a child with a similar diagnosis?
I think one of the biggest resources was my learning support teachers at school, the professionals. They were really great on giving me a lot of tips that I use even today and that I teach my students. I feel that was helpful for me. I also feel that OVR, Office for Vocational Rehabilitation, was extremely helpful, especially when I became an adult, even with testing for driving, because my parents knew that with my eye-hand coordination that driving was going to be an issue. And we waited a year, and they had me go and mow the field. And instead of making these beautiful long lines, I made crop circles. So I always tell people I know where crop circles come from. But they paid for that testing. And they also paid for my schooling. I was able to graduate debt-free. That was helpful. And it was also helpful to have a supportive family that loved me unconditionally and took me places. But it also was great to have friends, too, that weren't in my school district that I could relate to. Because I know now with the internet, it's hard to do that, but I could shed that reputation. But sometimes my friends they couldn't fix my problem or my family, but they could be there to support and just to be there for me. So I think that was helpful. I think it's just reaching out in the community and seeing, working with your child's teacher, working with your child's pediatrician, working with other community groups that are in the area and finding what's going to work for you.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I also think that a lot of parents have to really, like, which is kind of hard, you know, in some cases, because a lot of times parents are working, so their children are at daycare or at a school already, and they're not able to really, really hone in on, you know, their child's personality, because sometimes, like we said, it's just that their child may learn differently. It may take a different approach or a different style to get them to the point where they need to be, but there's a way to do it. It's just, can we figure it out? But with the way life is set up for most people, they don't have the time to really be able to raise their children. And that's why I feel like in so many ways, community is very important.
Yes.
There's so many people out here who feel like they could just do it by themselves or just in the situation they're in. And when you really, really, really look at it, community is the way to really be able to have a way with your children so you could figure it out so they don't have to go through as much scrutiny. Because, you know, like you said, your parents made you face a lot of things. All these parents make their children face what's going on. And but, you know, for you, it was bullying because of what was going on. But then for other people, it was bullying that resulted in other things happening, like tragedy. Yeah. Like I had a parent on here who child was suffering through from bullying where they made them brandish a knife and to protect themselves. And another young, you know, kid lost their life. But this was because some people's bullying, it goes a totally different level, right? Where they don't get a chance to figure out who they are in life or their purpose because of what is going on in the moment. So thankful for you that you had a great support system around you. Unfortunately, that's not everybody's story, but the good thing is your purpose, you found your purpose in all this because you could have got all this for yourself and then just lived your life and didn't advocate for others or didn't stand in the gap for others and, you know, had a degree like a lot of people do and they work in a totally different industry. You know, some people got doctorate degrees and they sitting next to somebody on the phone that got a high school diploma. So.
Exactly.
So it's great that, you know, that you were able, like the navigation for you to find your purpose is really, I think that's a great thing. So look, let's talk a little bit about how you were able to navigate different relationships with your learning disability, because how was friendships and all of those type of things as you became an adult? How did those things go?
I was really lucky when I became an adult that I found more people that were supportive of that. I found my writing group. We're still friends 20 some years later. And they were just a couple years older than I was whenever I was in my late teen years. And that was great. They would pick me up and take me where I needed to go. And they navigated, they helped me with a lot of the social things with that. We were just in each other's lives. In fact, we were my best friend and I were we were in each other's wedding 6 months within each other. In each other's weddings. That was really great. I could choose who I really wanted to be with. If I didn't think somebody, was not going to be someone I wanted to be a friend with, I always have the thing where I'm kind, I'm polite, but I can choose. How much time I spend with somebody. And I think that is the big difference between being an adult and being a kid. When you're a kid, you're stuck going to school with them and you're stuck with a lot of the same activities. But as an adult, I have the power of choice and I can choose how I handle situations like that. Relationships are really hard with just dating because I can remember I had someone that said, well, you know, you may not be able to find somebody with your disability. And that was always a concern. Am I going to find someone that's going to love me for who I am? And I can remember I was dating my ex. And when we were breaking up, he said, I think you could drive if you really wanted to. And I'm tired of taking you places. And I also had other people that said, I don't want to be with you because you have a disability. And I was just so tired of being hurt and being just all the broken relationships that I finally prayed. And I said, God, do not send me anybody until it's the right person. And he was really faithful to send me my husband.
Okay. So you prayed for your husband to come on through.
I did.
All right. Mm-hmm. So that's good because, but the good thing is that you were ready for him. That's what made you pray because you had to go through the other scenarios and make sure that you was ready for him. You know what I mean? Because, you know, on both ends, even, you know, though you come with responsibilities, as far as the things that you have to deal with, you have to be a part of responsibilities for him too. So there's a lot to overcome, right? Like there's a lot to overcome, not just to deal with the things that you have to deal with as far as how you maintain every day with having learning disabilities and stuff like that. You have to still be a partner to a person and be there for them, right?
Exactly.
So,
right. But we help each other out with a lot of things.
But that's the point, right? Because you know, like it's teamwork, right? But the most important part is that, like you said, you was able to find somebody that can meet you in those places that other people said, "Nah, I'm cool on that." But at least, I mean, I can't say at least, but it looks like you at least was able to experience those other people. You know, even if it was just for a short amount of time. So that was cool to let you know that, you know, that should help with the confidence, right? Like, you know, that you, So I think that's a good thing, right? I don't know if your husband listening. My bad, bro. If you are, I'm trying to get in trouble. I'm just saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? She had, you know, some, she.
Oh, tell him he'll listen later. Yeah. Oh,
goodness. Nah. But that's good though, because you know, you gotta think about it. You know, people who deal with different type of disabilities, they go through the most when it comes to, you know, just having good relationships with people in general. Not even whether it's about boyfriend and girlfriend, but just like, you know, people you could count on, people you could trust, people who don't look at you like a basket case or like, you know, you need a handout. It's like, nah, you look, I'm going to ride with you because I can't drive. Now, if you want me to drive, then you must want to, you know, collect some insurance. But if that ain't it, then, you know, But I'm going to roll with you.
Right. And I think it's also true. We live in a central location, so that was one of the key things when we got a house. I told him, I said, look, I want to live in a central location, so if you're not able to give me a ride and you're working or you're doing something else or you're not around, like for some time, I'm able to take myself places. And that's something I really wanted to be able to do. And that influenced a lot of it too, because I am able to do that. And it's not always him taking me places. Sometimes I might just think, I want to take a walk. I want to go somewhere. And sometimes he might have to be at work or he has things he has to do too. And it's just looking for those ways that we can work together on a lot of those things to help each other out.
Which is a good thing because, you know, you're not like being a burden.
Right, exactly. That's not what I want to be.
Because you know, for so much people would think that that's probably why them other guys said that about you, because they would think that you come with a whole bunch of responsibilities, like you gotta, you know, like they gotta wait on you hand and foot, like right, like it's like, oh my God. When it's not that, it's like, yo, I do what I do, you do what you do, we can make it work in the middle. You just got to be willing to help, like I'm going to help you, and that's it. But I don't think people see it that way. Life can be a little bit more simpler if people, like I said, depending on how they see that glass, it's either half empty or half full, and that will determine how that person is going to view life. You know, that's just the bottom line.
I agree. We
would wish that people could see things in a way where it always looks like it's up, like, right? Like full. We know life don't allow you to do that, but man, if we could look at all the good and the bad things that we go through and just kind of put it together and see how much of an amazing person that we have to be able to have this much responsibility.
Yes.
And then at the same time, be able to enjoy life without worrying about what another person looked at us and said that we can't do. Because unlike you, you know, people used to tell me all the time what I can't do. Right. Even with this podcast, you know, it's like, yo, Rob, why are you going to do a podcast? They'd be like, everybody doing a podcast. You know, everybody is doing this. Why would you do that? Why don't you stick to this? You good at this. Why don't you do that? You know, because people will do that whenever you mention certain things. And here I am. I'm about to be on 100 episodes. Now, I would think that if I was to stop and listen to other people and be like, yeah, you know what? You're right. It is mad platforms out there, and it is everybody trying to, right? But then once you develop a passion for something and you find out your purpose, then it doesn't become about what everybody else will look at it for. Like, oh, hold on. Yeah, it is a million and one things out there, but it's only one me.
Right.
Right? Where people will take that as arrogance when it's just about having confidence in who you are as a person. Like, we got to find our purpose. I'm sure it's a lot. It's a lot of other things I do besides this. I'm not going to say that, you know, I woke up one morning with an epiphany, like, yo, with a mic and a headphone and say, yo, this is what I do. Right? But at the same time, I believed enough in myself to, you know, do what everybody says I can't do.
Right, exactly.
And that goes along with what your story is, right? You were born, like, since you've been born, people have been telling you what you can't do. And you did everything opposite of what they say. They said you can't go to college. You got 2 degrees.
Yeah.
It's people with no learning disability. I'm telling you, damn. It's people out here who can't read nothing. Like, yo, where is born? You could put a newspaper in front of them. It's like kryptonite. You know what I mean? Like, bro, for real. Some people, you could torture them by making them read out loud.
Right.
You'd be like, yo, there's so many people out there. They be taking all kind of pictures and selfies. You make them read out loud.
Right,
and,
right.
And see, don't they sound like they need hooked on phonics? And they ain't got no, you know what I'm saying? They don't have no disability. So that's why I say a lot of times it could be a diagnosis or it could be an excuse or it could be whatever you consider a reason. But as long as you know, really, if you could find your purpose, you could overcome all that. That's just how I feel.
Yes.
I don't know.
I agree with you.
I want you to let people know how they could get a hold of your literary work, right? Because, you know, I think that's important.
Yeah. Okay, you can find me at my blog, www.MrsMichelle'sMission, and I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well.
That's right. And we also want to make sure that we inspire a lot of people to say that if you have, well, I don't know, I was just about to offer your name and everything out. I should have asked you first, but I was going to say any parents out there that are dealing with, you know, some things that you may detect early, you know, in your children, it'd be good to hit Michelle up and see if you could talk some things through to her since she's been dealing with this since she's been a kid herself, up into the fact that she is now helping children that have been diagnosed with learning disabilities. So you could pretty much have a conversation with her and see if there's a way or get a hold of some of her literature or follow her blog and stuff like that and help you navigate through that. Because like I said, a lot of parents are dealing with things, dealing with their children, and they might not just know.
Yeah.
Or maybe too embarrassed to really try to figure it out or whatever. So now with this show, hopefully people get a little bit of more insight on the fact that, yeah, your child may be dealing with a few things, but they can become very, very successful, especially if they have the right support system behind them, right? So hopefully all you guys that watch tonight, thank y'all for jumping on. And hopefully if you know anybody or if you are dealing with a child or anyone that's dealing with learning disabilities, or it could be an adult. They just might have been dealing with it all their life, and they ain't never been diagnosed. They just mad different, and they can't count, and they can't do, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, I'm just playing. But look, let's just say this. All the people out there who have watched tonight, thank y'all. I really appreciate y'all jumping on. Thank y'all for the comments. And Michelle, any last words you want to give the audience before we get out of here?
I just would love to tell people that success doesn't always come in the package that you expect, but sometimes it comes in something even better.
Oh, wow. That's dope. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a quotable right there. Yeah, that's a quotable right there. That's right. Because you just never know. And another thing is, too, you know, sometimes what people consider a disability is literally a superpower, y'all. Just don't forget that, too. Just got to figure out how to look at it. Well, look, this is your boy, Rawan, y'all, and I thank y'all for watching again tonight. Just remember, next week, we'll be back on here. Like I said, we talked to some of the world's most interesting people. Michelle, I definitely appreciate you jumping on. Thank you so much for sharing your story with the people. Hopefully, it will inspire people with and without learning disabilities to keep pushing through, no matter what the obstacle is that you're facing.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad you came on. So, you know, like I said, we'll stay in touch and we'll keep moving forward. And like I said, we'll have to bring you back on. We're going to have a couple of different educators on, and we're going to do a panel, and we're going to talk about some things, because I do want to talk about ways that we could find ways to figure out how we can homeschool our children as well, too, you know, and have situations set up for them, since a lot of parents are working remote. In that better way, they can still have a better, you know, understanding and connection with their child, even if we could find central locations for children to be dropped off at, but to get a more enhanced learning, or, you know, because like I said, they may not be you know, a student that would be a mathematician, but they may be a great botanist.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Be a great welder. They may be a great, like, we don't know. We just got to give them the opportunity to find out how to pull out their strengths, right? So we'll have a panel on that, and hopefully we can share some insight from you. And, you know, I'm working on that in the background. So
sounds great.
Okay, great. So I'll keep you in up to date with that. So to all y'all that was watching, thank y'all. Until next week, y'all know what it is, man. It's your boy, Rawan. And remember, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, peace.